content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos. I've got Lexi Brinkley in studio with me today and Dan the Man.
Yep.
I got two Dans on the show today. I got Daniel Tagg and Dan Engel coming up here in a little bit. So how you doing?
Doing good. A little tired, but good.
You're a little tired? Why are you a little tired?
There is an ant infestation in my house, and for some reason, they love to get in my sheets of my bed.
Oh, interesting. No.
So I had to sleep in the guest bed, which I don't sleep as well. And yeah, it was. And I'm super sore from doing blood flow restriction on my lower body, which we'll talk about. And I'm dying from that.
Yeah,
it was a killer workout.
Yeah, this is an interesting subject. We've talked about this before. I think it was with maybe Sean Wells. I don't remember. But blood flow restriction, interesting topic. A lot of people say this really, really works. So
it has done wonders.
Yeah.
My arms have gotten bigger in the last few months from doing it on my arms, and I just started doing it on my legs, which is a whole nother level.
So we're going to have to demonstrate. We're going to have to find something that we can tie around your arm and go.
Do we have a tourniquet of some sort?
Some down in my car.
Oh. You can use my lanyard.
Yeah, you can use that.
There's some hair ties.
I was going to say a hair tie.
Hair tie?
Lanyard would probably work better.
Yeah.
But it's actually pretty cool. I first learned about it from Ben Pakulski from reading some articles of him working through some lower back injuries and training for legs for a year and a half to 2 years and coming into his show. He's a professional bodybuilder. He was top 10 in the world. He came into his last show or one of his last shows without lifting heavy lower body for like 2 years or something. And I could be misquoting the time, but his legs looked in better condition than they ever had.
Can you blood flow restrict any part of your body and make it bigger?
No.
Ooh.
No.
That's a good question.
Yeah. No, you cannot. And you were going somewhere totally different.
No, I wasn't. I don't know what you're talking about. I was not.
This was a conversation that we had before.
No. I'm being very serious because.
Well, okay, you could use calves, yes.
Yeah, but that's what she meant.
You
what
can't
about
do
thighs?
Thighs, yes. Yes, okay. You can do thighs. So pretty much the limbs, you can do almost any limb. You can't really do like abdominals or anything like that because essentially you cut off as close to the origin portion of the muscle as possible. And so you can't really get to the origin of your abs or like the chest or anything like that. Although there are
who
some.
Who found out about this? Like, would somebody just decide to like, I'm going to
tie their arm up?
I'm going to tie my arm up and see what happens.
So it started in Japan and they used it as a medical means for people that were having muscle wasting while they were bedridden from car wrecks or whatever.
Oh wow!
And I forget the name of what they called it, but it's essentially blood flow restriction. And they would put these tourniquets on them and do very light lifting in the beds, and it would retain muscle mass and actually even gain strength.
Uh-huh.
And now it's just we've found that it's a neat little trick or tool that you can use for gaining strength and size for bodybuilding while doing less wear and tear on the joints because it's 30% of your one rep max, so very lightweight, but to absolute failure for 3 to 5 sets, 30 seconds rest in between.
Wow.
And it is brutal. Brutal.
Yeah.
Like, especially lower body.
So why would you do something that's so brutal?
So it's...
Is that healthy for, like, your... You know, you might get bigger muscles, but is it going to do any kind of damage to like your skin or your tendons or your?
No, it's way less. It's way less damaging on your body than doing heavy weights. Way less damaging, and it's not going to do any damage to your skin. It's not going to do any damage to tendons, ligaments, because there's very little force put on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just lactic acid buildup is intense because you're going like I think I did 180 pound squats for 50 reps, which it's a lot of reps doing squats.
How many?
And then 50.
Yeah,
that is a lot.
50, then I took 30 seconds rest, then I did 35 was about all I could get the second time, then 30 seconds rest again, then all I got was 30 reps, and then 30 seconds again, and all I got was like 20, and then I went to now knee extension.
I'd have a heart attack like it, that.
I was
quick.
Like at rep 20, you're just like, ugh, like, I mean, I was that guy yelling in the gym that I hate usually, but I apologized afterwards, but Yeah, it was painful, but it was a lactic acid painful. It wasn't like my joints were hurting, my muscles were fine. It was just lactic acid builds up, and mm-hmm. it's just a burn.
Yeah, I haven't had that in a while.
Yeah.
But I'm going to start training here in a couple of weeks. Tina Burnett is getting ready to move back to Dallas, nice. So she's going to start training me again.
So why is she leaving Colorado to come to Texas? That's what I'm asking. Like, nothing against Texas, but Colorado's beautiful, and it's better weather. And
children.
Okay, that's a good point. I can't argue with that.
Top priority, children.
Okay. That's yeah. all you got to say.
Texas forever. I'm never leaving.
Good for you.
Gosh,
good for you.
Really?
Because the second I'm done with work, I'm out of
exactly.
here.
Exactly. I'm like, I would love to move to Colorado or California.
Yeah. Yes.
Somewhere.
Or there's a state that I'm going to move to that I'm not going to tell anyone about because I don't want anyone else to know about it.
A secret state?
It's a secret state.
Yeah.
I want to travel. I would like to maybe have like a summer home somewhere, but I don't think I could ever leave Texas permanently.
Well, and I find that with a lot of Texans, born and raised, you guys love it. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's just not for me. Not the terrain. It's hot. It's flat. It's
I don't know what to say. Yes.
I want to get to the mountains like you, Daniel.
So good.
She wants to get to the mountains.
I do.
The bike riding is so much better there. It's like 100 and whatever out, and you don't want to get on a bike when you're doing that. And it's all flat. It's just, yeah. I was in Kansas City. It was much nicer weather there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up in upstate New York, so I had the best of both worlds, kind of, you
right.
know. You got Lake Michigan there, or not Lake Michigan. No.
Ontario?
What? No. Ontario.
Lake,
thank
Lake
you.
Ontario.
Lake Ontario. Yeah, Lake Ontario. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of Chicago because it was a friend of mine, and we were talking about Lake Michigan and Chicago, right? Is it Lake Michigan? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I believe
Sorry.
So.
I don't know.
You know, I'm a little groggy today. I had caught like a little stomach bug yesterday.
Yeah.
And Aviana, I had a stomach ache, and I do not get stomach aches all day yesterday. So, but I woke up feeling better this morning. So
that's good. I've had some stomach pains too. Nothing major, but that's weird.
Yeah. I can't. I take my probiotics every day, so that's probably what stopped me from getting even sicker because I heard there is like a stomach bug going around.
So. Yeah, okay. I've heard there's like a weird summer summer
flu. So be careful and wash
flu.
Your hands. Yeah, it almost felt flu-like for a couple
of
hours.
But it's like a 24-hour thing. It's in and out.
Maybe that's why I'm so tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so how's your energy hygiene?
Daniel?
You know, it depends. Are you talking about my sleep cycle? Are you talking about my circadian rhythm? Are you talking about my gut microbiome? Like, I mean, that's a wide question.
Well,
so I would say I pay attention to it.
Yeah, well, it's about a lot of things. It's about breathing. It's about getting energy from the sun.
Yeah, I do that.
It is about sleep. It's about taking in enough water.
Yeah,
it's about avoiding sugar and your cell phones.
I probably need to avoid cell phones a little bit
Do you
bit
have more than one phone?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm just checking.
I do have some technology that's a Pico technology that's blocking some negative waves that my phone does give out. So I do have some technology that blocks...
Supposedly. Oh, one of those little EMF blockers?
Yeah, but it's on
Let
another...
Let me see it. Is it on your phone?
Yeah, it's actually... I don't even think
Is that
I was
the same thing that Robin Perry Braun has?
No. This one was a prototype. I don't even know if they're out. And I don't even know if I was supposed
to
tell you.
Look at
you.
Get it at Paleo? Got the inside?
Yeah. I don't even know if I was supposed to say what it was. Don't say the name of it, but...
Okay, let me see.
It's some really
advanced
technology.
It looks like one of those things that Robin had.
Yeah,
An EMF blocker? Is that what it is?
Well, it's... It is.
Why
but
am I not allowed to say it? Give them a free shout out. Why
no,
not?
Because it's not. They're not doing patented. More research. They're doing more patents on it. They're
it's
doing
top secret.
Yeah, they're doing. Oh, that was good. They're doing a lot of other research on it before they can bring it out. And I haven't talked to them for about a year, so it might be out. I just don't know.
Well, I'm gonna call them.
What does it look like? Let me see it.
It's like a little. Let me see that. Don't disclose what it
I
looks
won't.
Like.
I'm a Google.
We can't
there,
give
but there's
it
some
away.
Stuff you
no
can
pictures.
Put in your shoes, like some inserts and some other cool stuff. It's a pretty cool company overall, and it has some pretty good research behind it.
Yeah.
But the technology.
Maybe a headband with one of them on there?
Maybe. But the technology is it's actually so small that they can't even measure the technology. It's crazy. Like, this guy's an absolute genius. It's beyond my understanding to even be able to explain it. But yeah, it's supposedly it blocks EMPs and. I
don't say that. You're not dead yet. And you can read about anything and become super, super smart.
That is true. That is
true. And without going to university.
Well, yeah. I don't know if he went to university.
Yeah.
He's from another country, so I don't know how they did the education in his country. But,
yeah. Well, there's a lot of really brilliant people that never went to college.
There
so,
are. Steve Jobs, I don't think, ever went to college. Mm-mm. Or no, he dropped out. He dropped out. But that's not to say that college isn't still good to get. But
it depends upon what you're doing. Education on all levels is the most wonderful thing you could possibly do to feed your mind
and
your soul.
But what you need to do is not get an education and stop. That's the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not, I always thought, oh, you go to the college and that's it. I'm like, no, yeah. As I've gotten older, I'm like, I know so much more now than I did in college.
Oh, yeah.
I'm reading like, or listening to, I think around 70 books in the last year.
Nice.
70.
Yeah. What's your favorite one so far?
That's hard. That's hard.
One or two. What stands out?
One that I just read or listened to stands out because it's about how Steve McQueen became a Christian towards the end of his life.
Hmm.
And it talks about his life and how he
grew up. Is he alive still?
No, he died in the 80s.
Steve McQueen, he was the...
The Great Escape, Bullet, like, okay. Yeah.
I think I know who you're talking. Obviously, I know that he's an actor, and he was all like into like adventures.
Oh,
and
he was a professional motocross wrestler, car racer, like a man's man. He did martial arts. His son took martial arts from Chuck Norris. He was friends with Chuck. He was the one who got Chuck Norris into movies. He was the one who suggested it.
Oh, wow.
He knew Chuck Norris before Chuck Norris was Chuck Norris.
Interesting.
Lots of Chuck Norris.
Where is Chuck Norris?
He
lives in Texas, doesn't he?
He used to, but his wife had a complication with the surgery. The anesthesia screwed up, and now she is bedridden. And I could be misquoting this, but I think he had an organization where he was teaching inner city kids martial arts, and it was called Kickstart. And he had to pull away from all of that. He still has people running it, but now it's 100%. He's devoted to his wife. He's got to be by her. Doctors got to be on call.
Wow,
that was the last I heard.
Yikes.
I could be completely
that
off.
Is so
research
sad.
It, but.
Yep.
I think he's pushing like 80 or something. Yeah. He's not a spring chicken anymore.
Well, surgery is not something you should easily, it's something you should enter into easily. They always say, oh, that's not a big surgery.
Right.
Yeah, because you're not
anything
having it.
Anything could go wrong.
Anything could go wrong. It can, you know, when you put the body under anesthesia and open it up for any reason. So,
right.
Yeah.
But he had a house, like one of the members at Telos lived right next to him. He had a house here in town. And then he has a ranch somewhere outside of here that I'm sure he doesn't want anyone to know about. So it's somewhere in Texas.
Yeah. He said that his wife was poisoned during an MRI scan.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so, I mean, she's like got to be under constant watch. So I think he's just been hanging out with the family and he's still got two relatively young kids.
I'd like to know more about being poisoned by an MRI.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
guess it's whatever they put in your body to see on the MRI.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All that gunk they make you.
Wow.
Because my mom had one and it's like a colored thing that they put in your body.
Yeah.
I've read some stuff about it. I'm not pulling it up right now, but we're going to have to investigate.
That's a
good
topic.
Yeah.
Get a doctor
to
come in and talk on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe Chuck Norris can come and talk about it.
There you go.
There you go.
That'd be awesome. I want to come back in if Chuck Norris is here.
You're
going to
come back in? All right. Okay, well, we've got a fantastic show coming up, everyone. Daniel Tagg, a little later on in the show, is going to be talking about blood flow restriction. That's BFR. And then Dr. Dan Engel is going to be talking again about psychedelic-assisted psychotherapy, but specifically the legalities of it. So stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss it. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. It's so great to have everyone here today. It really is. I love doing this show, and especially with Daniel Tagg. He's been on it for a very long time. Daniel Tagg is an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telos Fitness Center. He is certified in orthokinetics, biomechanics of resistance training, and MAT, that's muscle activation techniques. And I guess he is specialized in BFR, too. That's blood flow restriction. Daniel is a licensed massage therapist and holds belts in three different martial arts systems, and he was a wildland firefighter. Today, as I said, we're talking about blood flow restriction. So, Daniel, for people that are just now joining us that maybe didn't hear the intro or know nothing about this, what is blood flow restriction?
So essentially what you're trying to do is, like, say you work in the bicep. You want to get venial or arterial flow in. So like the heart blood pumps the blood into the muscle or the blood into the muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can stop the venial return back into the arteries back into the heart, then the blood you get that big pump that everyone always tries to get while they're in the gym. And that is directly correlated with what's called cell swelling, which does help promote protein synthesis and helps promote bigger muscles. Mm-hmm. So if you trap the blood in there, you get a bigger pump. Mm-hmm. And so you do that by actually putting a tourniquet on at the attachment point, so as high up on your armpit as possible, and then doing high reps at light weight, controlled, and the pump is insane. And you can get a full arm workout in like 10 minutes.
Wow. It seems unhealthy to me. That's my first instinct. And it just doesn't seem very natural.
And a lot of people think that. And
I feel like trapping the blood there is just not natural. Like, why?
Well, it's not natural, but it's perfectly healthy.
And guys do this to other parts of their body, just by the way. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I just think of like the blood pressure machines that like squeeze your arm. You know,
it looks a little funky, but it's the same essential thing, just for a little bit longer. Like, so I was actually, because when people say this is unhealthy or you're going to hurt your arm or whatever like that, so I was just at a training conference for protecting people, essentially, and protecting yourself a few months back with a bunch of military guys, former military guys.
I remember that.
Yeah, and one was EMT in the military and had put tourniquets on people in real-life scenarios where they were bleeding out and stuff. And we found in Iraq that you can leave a tourniquet on for like a day, and that arm, that limb is perfectly fine. You're not going to, you know, the arm's not going to drop off. And that's a tourniquet that's like put on like 100%,
mm-hmm.
we're talking like 70%. So there's tons of blood still getting through both ways. It's just that it's going to impede the blood leaving the area, so you get a more benefit of the blood pooling around there and going into the muscle, which then makes muscle stronger and better endurance, and it increases muscle mass while putting way less stress on the joints. So it's actually very healthy for you. It is not very enjoyable, but it is healthy. And I've not read any side effects from it. There might be out there. I've not seen. I have personally not seen.
Do you think that men would even listen? Because muscles are so important to most guys. Would they even listen?
I mean, if they're smart, they would. It's a lot more efficient, and it saves your joints. So like these people that I know this bodybuilder that has like had a back surgery because he's lifting so heavy, trying to get a big lower body. And this isn't Ben Pekulski. This is another one. And he had back surgery and like slipped discs, all this stuff. He's like, oh, you just got to lift heavy to get big. And that's true. But I'm like, would you rather do that? Or maybe, hey, let's do some blood flow restriction. Mm-hmm. Use like 30% of your one rep max. So maybe over less than half of what you normally use. Mm-hmm. And save your joints and save your back so you don't have back surgery and get the same benefits, if not better.
You say save your joints. Okay, so that's supposed to be one of the benefits is to decrease wear on the joints.
Yeah, because you're having less wear and tear because you're not putting as much load on. Like when you're putting 300, 400, 500 pounds on a back squat, that's a lot of compression on your discs. Yeah. That's a lot of, you know, issues at your hips, your knees. That's a lot of weight on them. It's just like if you're walking around with 100 pounds overweight, your joints will deteriorate quicker because it wears through them a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. So if you're lifting with lighter weight, you're automatically going to do less wear and tear on the joints. And you're lifting less, like you're in and out of there out of 10 minutes versus if you're doing a heavy leg workout, you might be in there for an hour and a half, two
10
hours.
Minutes?
10 minutes. Well, so lower body, it
that
took me.
That got her attention.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Yeah.
So arms, I can do biceps and triceps in 10 minutes or less. The legs yesterday or 2 days ago, I think it took me 25 minutes and my lower body is like, in a good way, wrecked.
Avi's going to the gym straight after this.
I just think that people get a little too crazy about all this muscle stuff.
Well, muscle is directly related to better bone density, longevity, health. So having more muscle mass to a certain degree is correlated with health. And you're going to burn more calories. It's just within moderation.
Yeah.
Everything's within moderation.
Yeah.
But like I've put on, I'm 193 right now, leaner than I've been in a while. And I feel, besides being tired today, that's kind of a side off, I feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Like when I'm 7
look, you look natural. Yeah. You look fit. You look, your arms look big, but normal big.
Yeah.
Not like steroid big. So, you know, what do you say to, because you know, that's huge in this world of muscle and fitness, if you will. Mm-hmm. All the steroid use. It's so gross. Like I this morning I was buying tickets to a film that's coming here to Dallas on September 16th. I can't think of the name of it right now. I'll have to get out my phone and look. But anyway, they were showing some pictures of guys that are all plant-based that have these just, you know, incredible amounts of muscle. Mm-hmm. And they showed some old video of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my gosh, how would you? It's just so gross to me the way he was just like this monster almost, like,
and
how do you even hug a guy like that?
And that was the classic look. He thinks the guys look gross today, whereas he looked a lot more natural, if you would.
There's nothing natural about the way he used to look.
He had a lot more of a V-shape to him, like where now guys just look like blocks.
Yeah.
And I mean, guys are like outweighing him by like 50 pounds of muscle nowadays.
I just think it's so crazy.
Yeah, I do. And like, that's why I'm up for like these blood flow restrictions. Cause, and there's things that are called intraset stretches that I've talked about before on here. And there's ways to hack the body, if you will, and gain good muscle mass without having to get on roids and do all these other things. Like, I've gained this weight because I've been eating for it. I've been making sure I get enough rest. I've been using things like the blood flow restriction, very dedicated, but all natural.
Okay, so where do you buy like these tourniquets to do this at home? And that's, so would you recommend doing this at home?
Yeah, so that's one
with
of the benefits.
With no instruction?
Yeah, it's perfectly fine. So it's a lot safer than normal weights because, again, you're not doing
lifting
as much
as
weight.
Much.
Yeah, so you can
I
get
like it.
Yeah, you can just get the elastic bands. They're really cheap tourniquets. You don't want the ones that are like legit
okay.
tourniquets. Just get the plastic bands or elastic bands.
The rubber
so
ones?
Would I put it
not
like
the rubber
way
ones,
up
no.
here on
elastic.
My shoulder if I want to get my whole arm?
So if you're working bicep, tricep, you want to up as close to your armpit as possible, tighten it to where you feel like the blood's getting trapped and your arm turns like a little reddish after contracting it several times, and it might turn. Maybe don't get it purple.
Okay. So for me, like 15 or 20 pounds, tourniquet my arm.
For
and
a
then
bicep?
Bicep,
curl?
I use like, I start out with 15.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, with you, I would say 10. If they, I'm usually, by the last set, I'm down to 10.
I would say like 7.5.
Yeah.
And maybe then, 8.
So control on the way down, but it's more about the positive rep because that's what's going to pump the blood into the cell.
Uh-huh.
So it's more about the contraction coming up or the positive rep, but still control it on the way down so you're
right.
not just going fast.
Well, you should do that even when you're lifting weights. That's one
especially
of the top secrets is to go slow.
Yes.
I was doing some squats last night and, or no, actually it was the night before because I didn't feel well enough last night. And I reminded myself, I could hear Tina in my head going, slow down, Bernadette, slow down.
Especially on the negative rep.
I just had a quick question. Like, what does it feel like when you take it off? Is there like a blood rush?
A
like,
little bit.
You...
But you, it feels good. Like
feels
everything
good.
About the every guy that wants the pump, this is like the ultimate pump.
Really?
I mean, you just feel, Arnold. You feel and look jacked afterwards. It's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to try it.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
that's
all
awesome.
Good
I'll be
stuff.
Report back.
Yes.
All right. We're going to reflect, I mean, not reflect, restrict.
Or restrict.
Our blood flow, and then we'll report back in a couple of weeks. But everyone, we'll be right back. We've got Dr. Dan Engel coming up, the legalities of psychedelic-assisted psychotherapy. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. Diamond Gray again making me smile with the music, and that's always a good thing. I just absolutely love how good Diamond is on the music. Like, she gets it.
Thank you.
You do, Diamond. You really do. She does such an excellent job. So, everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos. I've got Lexi Brinkley in studio today, Daniel Tagg, and our very special guest is back again, Dr. Dan Engel. He is a medical doctor and is the author of The Concussion Repair Manual, A Practical Guide to Recovering from Traumatic Brain Injuries. His clinical practice combines functional medicine, integrative psychiatry, neurocognitive restoration, and peak performance methods. He is the medical director of the Revive Treatment Centers of America, and he also serves as a medical advisor to Onnit Labs and the True Rest Float Centers. His website is drdanengel.com. That's drdanengel.com. It's spelled E-N-G-L-E. Such a pleasure to have you back. How are you doing today, Dr. Engel?
I'm great, Bernadette. Great to be with you again.
Yeah, yeah. I'm full of energy this morning. I was a little sick yesterday, but I'm 100%, I think, today. So great to have you back with us. You know, today we're talking specifically about the legalities of psychedelic-assisted psychotherapy. So let's dig into this. I don't want to lose any time because this is such a fascinating conversation. And so I read in the Rolling Stone magazine that psilocybin, along with MDMA, could potentially be legal for therapy use by 2021. Can we talk about this?
Absolutely. Yeah, they're both right now in what's called phase three trials, which is the last trial before pharmaceuticals or medicines are becoming or allowed to become therapeutically legalized. So they've gone through phase one and phase two trials already. They've both been green lighted by the FDA as breakthrough treatment. Psilocybin for depression and MDMA for PTSD. So they're actually being allowed to get sped up through the process.
Wow. Well, do you think that they will psychedelics will ever be legalized for like prescription?
You know, it's an interesting question. How much is going to be available in the pharmaceutical arena for medical patents? Both of the psilocybin's a completely natural medicine, and you can't actually patent completely natural medicines. And MDMA has been available for 40 years, so it's already gone out of patent.
Mm-hmm.
As far as its legalization for being available as an available prescription or usage in a clinical setting, yeah, I completely expect both of them to become legalized. Hopefully in the next year, ideally sooner rather than later, because people need these therapies.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of guys out there that are all over this. I was just scouring the internet yesterday looking just for stuff. And Scientific American, I have the app on my phone, and it was so coincidental. So I'm scrolling through, and I see this article, and it says, the psychedelics evangelist, a German financier, wants to turn magic mushrooms into modern medicine. One company the entrepreneur invests in wants to develop psilocybin in a lab, so there's no need to extract it from mushrooms. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, there are some companies, particularly in Europe, who are looking to extract the main active alkaloid or psychoactive property and ingredient in the mushroom itself. And if you do an extraction method and you're only working with the primary principal active compound, then yes, you can patent that and make that a pharmaceutical. And actually, that's how a lot of pharmaceuticals are made.
Mm-hmm.
Where we identify something in nature that works really well. Like, for example, that's how aspirin was patented, from white willow bark. And
right.
To find the active ingredient, synthesize just that primary effective compound and use that clinically, the downside is you're not using the whole plant.
Mm-hmm.
And when you use the whole plant, you have a lot of other alkaloids that buffer the primary and allow it to work even better without side effects.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's a lot of controversy around aspirin. I don't know if you want to talk about it for a second or what. I don't know a lot about it. All I know is I've read many, many times that it really is not good for you, and that Bayer, you know, Pharmaceuticals has made like billions of dollars, but it's not really good for you.
Yeah, I don't know so much about the long-term data on aspirin usage, and it's a good point that you're bringing up, which most of the medicine or pharmaceutical and medications that we use in nature, we use as needed. And so if you have an injury and you have pain, and part of the rehabilitation process is decreasing the amount of pain so that you can function in life and you can work through your therapeutic practices and like the procedural rehabilitative exercises, then we're using it well.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're using pharmaceuticals to mask symptoms over a long period of time, then that typically creates more imbalance in
mm-hmm.
the system.
Well,
we have to use them just episodically.
Yeah, well, and I'm thinking of so many plants, cannabis, kratom, case in point, white willow bark, and all these different things that are plants that are out there in nature that pharmaceutical companies have basically taken control of and turned it into over-the-counter drugs, when actually using the natural plant itself is so much more beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both of those are great examples, because there are so many constituents in cannabis that allow it to be neuroprotective, neurorehabilitative, the U.S. government has actually had two medical patents on cannabis for close to 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find that data. And that's even while the federal government has held it into Schedule One,
mm-hmm.
which means it's no medical benefit and highly addictive. And most of the medicines that we're speaking about, psilocybin, MDMA, and a host of others, don't deserve to be in Schedule One because they don't actually meet that criteria.
Yeah, it's actually pretty crazy, you know, that we've got, I was thinking about it last night, we've got people in prison, you know, for having a joint, and yet, you know, it's legal, and this is very timely, to go in and buy an AK-47 and all the magazines that you want, and yet you can't buy a joint. Right? It seems a little crazy.
Absolutely. It's very hypocritical. Ideally, we're showing more and more of the efficacy and data for these medicines so that we spread the message. It's a grassroots movement. People are recognizing that the escalation in psychiatric epidemics, it doesn't have a trajectory of healing. And these medicines have the opportunity to open up different states of consciousness that get to the core issue so that you start to heal that core trauma and you can actually be resolved and quote-unquote cured versus just trying to mask the symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I want to talk with you about treatment-resistant depression. I think we're going to take a break here because we have to take one before the end of the show. This is a good point. So we're going to take a break, everyone. We'll be back with Dr. Den Engel. We're going to be talking about treatment-resistant depression. So stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Lexi Brinkley, Aviani.
That's a new one.
I love
Aviani.
That.
She sounds Italian.
I'm so silly today.
Aviani.
I have to tell you.
Aviani.
I'm not going to tell you. Anyway, never mind. But we are on the line with Dr. Den Engel. You're just now joining us. He is a medical doctor, and he is the author of the Concussion Repair Manual, A Practical Guide to Recovering from Traumatic Brain Injuries. His clinical practice combines functional medicine, integrative psychiatry, neurocognitive restoration, and peak performance methods. He is the medical director of the Revive Treatment Centers of America, and he also serves as a medical advisor to Onnit Labs and True Rest Flotation Centers, and I'm going to give a shout out to Onnit because I love their products and I've used them for years. So Dr. Den Engel's website is drdenengel.com. That's E-N-G-L-E. Today we're talking about the legalities of psychedelic assisted psychotherapy. Before we went to break, we decided we were going to talk about treatment resistant depression and how many people have this and yet they are still taking prescription drugs. What do you want us to know about this, Dr. Engel?
Well, it's becoming more and more of an epidemic with increasing numbers every day. And even in this advent of psychopharmacology, we're still finding more and more people with this chronic depression condition. The World Health Organization has identified it as the number one disability worldwide.
Wow. Wow. And then, of course, you have all the suicides, which seem to just be so rampant. And it's crossed all, you know, all generations, too. You've got, you know, so many older Americans committing suicide and so many young Americans committing suicide. And so what do you feel, based on all your experience and scientific research and your medical degree, what do you think is at the root of it?
I think there's a couple of things. One is that the technology has outpaced the evolution of our nervous system.
Oh, wow.
Which means we are consistently bombarded with more and more information. We're consistently trying to keep up with the speed of technology. Our attention span is shortening consistently so that we actually need these really small bite-sized chunks of really intense information to even pay attention now. And more of our younger generation are being developed neurodevelopmentally in this kind of arena and environment. We've never seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know, prior to 50, 60 years ago, we were mostly living at the pace of nature.
Right.
And then with accelerated technology, it's becoming more intense. So that's number one. And then number two is, even though we're more and more available to connection virtually, like we can email somebody and get an immediate response halfway across the world instantaneously, we have less and less skin to skin, eye to eye, human to human touch and connection.
Yeah.
Even in the midst of all of this technology and all of this abundance, we're feeling even more disconnected than ever from each other, from ourselves, and from the planet itself.
Well,
and so when people feel disconnected, you have this like this emptiness at the level of the deep psyche and the soul.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're making me think of an article. I don't even know where I read it. It was years ago, but it really hit home with me, and I've never forgotten it. Case in point, when you were just speaking, it came to me. It was a story about men in Ireland, older men that had, become very used to the tradition of going to the local pub to have a beer with their friends at night, you know? And as the pubs started closing down in some of these smaller areas, these older gentlemen found themselves committing suicide.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah,
that
do you
article.
Remember
yeah.
that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow. And so that connection, that camaraderie, all of it is so important to mental well-being and emotional well-being, right?
100%. We're very social creatures, and we rely on each other for that degree of connection, the degree of associated love, mirror neurons, the degree of sociability that really engenders a sense of camaraderie and fellowship, as opposed to suffering and isolation.
Yeah.
And so we have to really address it as that level of connectivity.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think I've never been to Ireland. I wanted to go. I haven't gone yet, but I'm not dead yet, so I probably will go back to my roots. But it's also the act of, growing up Italian, Dr. Engel, you know, there was many, many times that we gathered around our table with cousins, first cousins, aunts, uncles, and, you know, just partook in just, you know, family time. And that included, you know, camaraderie, you know, playing with my cousins, all this. I mean, I didn't drink back then, but I remember just, you know, my parents all sitting around having a little sip of wine or a little sip of whiskey or beer, which lightens the mood and puts, you know, the brain into a more relaxed state. And so I feel that, you know, that alcohol and the right level, very small amounts, can be very beneficial to fight depression as well, as long as you're not drinking alone. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Because every medicine has its place, and every medicine has its sweet spot. If you don't use enough, there's no effect. If you use too much, it's poison.
Yeah.
And alcohol is one of those social lubricants that's been used for eons and generations. Unfortunately, when we use it to excess, it becomes neurotoxic, hepatotoxic, which is damaging to the liver, and it creates addictive cycles, which a lot of people do turn to alcohol when there's so much deep emotional suffering that they don't know how to address, and pharmaceuticals aren't working, and maybe we're not identifying the core levels of trauma. So people will use what's available in order to numb the pain that they experience.
Well, the reason there's so much alcohol, abuse is because we don't have availability to drugs like cannabis and a lot of these things that are truly so wonderful. I have to tell you. So I was saying earlier, I'm not going to tell you, but I'm going to tell you. So, you know, yesterday I wasn't feeling well. And so this morning when I got up and I'd also had sent some kratom to Dr. Alvin Dannenberg, who is, in stage 4 cancer, fighting it right now. Long story short, this morning I thought, you know what, because I was having a little knee pain, I took one for pain, and it was I don't remember what particular strain it was of kratom, but it was for pain and to feel good. And it made me, that's one of the reasons I'm in such a good mood. I'm telling you, like, whatever is in that has made me very happy today.
Yeah. It's a great recognition of being able to use a natural medicine in a way that is a healthy relationship with it, that we use it only when we need it and we don't become dependent on
it. And I only took one, and it recommended you could take up to 3 based on why. I only took one, and I it's remarkable, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fascinating medicine that we're just really starting to study more and more, because it's it's a great step-down treatment for people who are trying to come off of chronic prescribed opioids.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has a really similar profile in helping to relieve pain. And opioid epidemics are one of the massive epidemics that's creating havoc and high degrees of accidental overdose.
Yeah.
And high degrees of addiction throughout our country.
Well, yeah. And so you don't have a choice if you don't, like, you know, the reason, the first time I started using Kratom was back, you know, just actually, I'd heard about it before. We've done shows on it in the past couple of years. A couple of weeks ago, I threw out my back going underneath my daughter's bed to reach for something and tried to get up. And I was like, oh my gosh, I could barely do the show. I could barely walk out of the building.
It was a rough day.
It was a rough day. And Avi went with me to the CBD Kratom store that is here in Dallas. And anyway, so I took that one, the happy one for pain. I took three of them that day and the pain was literally gone in 30 minutes. And mm-hmm. I thought to myself, why is this not available to all Americans? Why do not all Americans know about this alternative health secret, if you will, that truly, truly works to fight pain?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. It comes back to follow the money. And the reason that cannabis is now becoming more widely available medically and recreationally is that there's huge money in it. And so more and more states are going through the legalization process, including Texas. Currently, it's not now yet available either medically or recreationally, but could become so soon. And it's because there's a massive financial opportunity. So unfortunately, as with most things in the political arena, you have to be able to follow the money. Mm-hmm. And up to this point, Kratom hasn't really had a whole lot of money associated with it because it's a natural supplement,
right?
Medicine. And until you extract the primary alkaloid, you can't patent it.
Well, yeah. And
so unfortunately, the pharmaceutical industry has so much political lobby, and they tend to work with those that can be patented and then therefore marketed.
Yeah. Well, and case in point, I mean, it works really well. And yet so many people don't know about it. And it works well for anxiety, too. I told someone to go there a couple of weeks ago that suffers from crippling anxiety. And he went back because it really did help him. So, you know, so many things out there that we all need to know about. And I just hope that minds will be opened by this conversation and there'll be some change, some positive change.
Yeah, there's massive change happening right now. Denver just passed a decriminalization measure for psilocybin, and Oakland a week later passed a decriminalization measure for all natural medicines.
Oh, nice.
Including ayahuasca, peyote, et cetera. This is just in the last 2 months.
So yeah.
It's coming. It's not a matter of if. It's just a matter of when and how.
Well, it's always great to have you on the show. It is. And I know we're gonna hear the music here in just a second. But what a great conversation with you today. And thank you for putting up with my silliness. but you always laugh at my jokes, Dr. Engel. I like that.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. No, it's always great. And, you know, I want to let everyone know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to the newsletter, or go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live, or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior, Crazy Water, Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, Thorne Research, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and our most recent sponsor, Enviromedica. You can go to enviromedica.com. They have amazing products. I'm holding Terra Flora in my hand right now, and I think that's one of the reasons I didn't get any sicker than I did yesterday. So check it out. Go to enviromedica.com. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.